Anyway, back to the Great Controversy. We're on page 577. Very first paragraph of the page. It's, well, the legal paragraph, I guess you can call it. It says, in Scotland, as in England, a greater regard for Sunday was secured by uniting with it a portion of the ancient Sabbath. Does that remind you of anything here? Okay, fine. The 321 AD thing, yeah, with Constantine. But did you see that video I put up about 2-3 months ago where the General Conference said, it's no big deal? When that Seventh-day Adventist pastor said that he wanted to start keeping Sunday holy in the Seventh-day Adventist Church to bring the Sunday keepers in? You know, in other words, to mix Sunday with Sabbath? Let me reread this. And you think, like, and this is one of the reasons the SDAs don't read Spirit of Prophecy or their Bibles anymore. And I know some of them do, but most of them don't. Especially when they email me and they all use the exact same quote to say, oh, don't call the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon. Totally out of context. Sister White didn't say about the future. She was talking about in her day. But anyway, again, she says, and so if they were reading the Spirit of Prophecy and they saw this, maybe it'll throw a spark of truth into their hearts. In Scotland, as in England, a greater regard for Sunday was secured by uniting with it a portion of the ancient Sabbath. But the time required to be kept holy varied. An edict from the King of Scotland declared that Saturday from 12 noon ought to be accounted holy, and that no man from that time till Monday morning should engage in worldly business. That's in Maurer's book, pages 290 and 91. But notwithstanding all the efforts to establish Sunday sacredness, papists themselves publicly confessed the divine authority of the Sabbath and the human origin of the institution by which it had been supplanted. In the 16th century, a papal council plainly declared that all Christians remember the seventh day was consecrated by God and hath been received and observed not only by the Jews, but by all others who pretend to worship God. Though we Christians have changed their Sabbath into the Lord's Day. And that's in the same book, Moore's book, on page 281 and 82. So they admit this stuff. I mean, I got a whole mess of their admissions in this respect on my Words of a Beast page, as well as Rome changed calendars page, or no, Rome changed times and laws page. And it's in the Roman Catholic Doctrine, you know, the RCC section of the menu, and they go down to the I think it's called the Doctrine, RCC Exposing. Yeah, then Catholic Doctrine, and if you can scroll down a little bit, it's not on there. I thought it was. Maybe it's in the Prophecy section, the Antichrist. Yeah, it's in the Antichrist section, and it's three links down, Changing Times and Laws. And they actually wrote a book called Rome's Challenge to Protestants, admitting all this, to try to get them to see that, look, you guys have been keeping Sunday holy all along. You may as well come back to Mother Rome. It worked eventually. They keep putting it out there. It's just like the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So those, she says, those who were tampering with the divine law were not ignorant of the character of their work. They were deliberately setting themselves above God. So there's another fruit of them being Luciferian. So it's no mistake that we see they have been caught holding satanic services in the Vatican. You see the Pope going 666 on camera. You see the Pope saying that Jesus Christ failed at the cross, as well as saying if you are dedicated to Jesus, it's dangerous. Because I wrote a newsletter years ago where the Vatican actually said the Bible is dangerous. And praise God, at that time I was doing radio, and so that was on the radio as well. And so, like that video I was talking about earlier that I'm working on, that's, I want to have all that stuff in there. But that might take a month or two, because There's just so much. I don't want to miss out on anything that I've gotten over the years. I'll have to go through my whole... Well, I think the most thing would be the old WordPress section, like the blog, and then my newsletters. And just look and see some of the crazy things these popes have said. And then I could do the same thing, of course, with the Ninth Hour Church. I just go to SDA Apostasy and just point out some of the articles. So, I mean, the fruits are the exact same. It's really uncanny. So, she goes on. A striking illustration of Rome's policy toward those who disagree with her was given in the long and bloody persecution of the Waldenses, some of whom were observers of the Sabbath. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. On my Sabbath history page, they're mentioned. So going on. Others suffered in a similar manner for their fidelity to the fourth commandment. The history of the churches of Ethiopia and Abyssinia is especially significant. Amid the gloom of the Dark Ages, the Christians of Central Africa were lost sight of and forgotten by the world. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? All this persecution that's going on with the Christians on a daily basis now, over 200,000 are being killed and Obama ignores it. And the Pope didn't mention, he slightly mentions it in passing. But he concentrates repeatedly about climate change. So you know what their agenda is. They don't care about the Christians. But the minute any Muslims are looking for refuge, looking for a place of refuge, Obama's opening up the borders again. Christians looking for refugee? Dead air. Crickets, that's all you're going to get. But that's okay. That was prophesied. Our king is going to take care of the whole situation when he gets here. And we won't have to sit on this planet to deal with it anymore. We'll be out of here. I mean, they could stay here. This is what they love. This is what they want. This is their planet. They can have it. They're going to be dead, but still, it's their planet. This is why the devil's bound 1,000 years. He's going to know an attempt. Everybody he loves to tempt, literally everyone he loves to tempt, are under the soles of his feet. The dead, rotting corpses of the people that die at the second coming, and all the graves that are still filled. Because the other graves are empty. The Christians have already left. The dead in Christ arose, and those that are alive, the Gideon band, all raise up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're out of here. 1,000 years later, we're going to come back, but we're out of here. And because the devil's going to have to deal with just wandering around. And this is why he's kicking it up a notch. He knows his time is very, very, very short. He knows prophecy better than any of us. He doesn't know the day or the hour. But he knows it's getting close. And this is why he goes after us, especially those of us on the front lines. He doesn't like what we're doing. It's exposing him easily. And we don't even have to work that hard at it because he's making it so easy now. And this is why I don't like some of these guys out here. They got these YouTube pages and stuff like that. Every day they got to get a video out. Every day. Why? You're just going to, some of these guys have got 12 or 13,000 subscribers and they can't seem to get over 300 or 400 hits to them because, hey, after a while, people are going to get a little bored with you just putting out videos for the sake of just talking. It's not quantity they want, it's quality. And so I'm just going to put a video out whenever anything happens. And if it happens 2 or 3 times a week, I'm going to put out 2 or 3 videos. But if something doesn't happen for 2 or 3 weeks, I'm not going to, I'm busy. Because anyway, the stuff I do on a daily basis on the main site is good enough, but it's not video material. Radio material, yeah, but I ain't got a radio show right now, so I'm not going to be concerned with that. But yeah, this still gets to me, the fact that they, just like back in what Sister White's talking about here, the Christians of Central Africa were lost sight of and forgotten by the world. And then she goes on and says, and for many centuries, they enjoyed freedom in the exercise of their faith. But at last, Rome learned of their existence, and the emperor of Abyssinia, I guess that's his name, was soon beguiled into an acknowledgement of the Pope as the vicar of Christ. See how she puts it? He's beguiled. And this is how they all are. And this is why they're going to turn on him, too. They're going to watch him burn. And this is also why you can't mix iron and clay. As much as the Pope wants his new world order, and he's going to get it, but prophetically speaking, it's only going to last an hour. And so they can't lock in together because it just, they don't like him. They're only doing it because of the money they can make, literally. The only reason Islam is not, killing the Pope or attacking him or his interests in anything. Like, for example, that salute page I have. We already know Islam's under control of Rome. The Vatican wrote their Quran, yeah. But a lot of people don't seem to realize that they are aware that they are working for the Pope, many of them. The salute that they do, the Roman salute that Hitler used, that jutting the arm straight, Sieg Heil thing, that is a Roman salute. I have that page on the website that proves it, and a video I made. And so most of these guys already know this. And so the fact that they're still not cohesive, if you will, you know, because Muslims hate Christians. The Vatican hates Christians. And none of this stuff's going to work. The only reason they hang with them is because the power that's involved with the Vatican. It's the most politically powerful entity on the planet. And it's got to be that way because that's where Satan is. I mean, if you read and study prophecy, it's a beacon of darkness, if there is such a thing, you know? I mean, if you want some place that's the darkest place on earth, it's the Vatican. Even the shape of the building is an upside-down cross. I did a video on that as well, just by showing how the nature of a keyhole is supposed to look, because the St. Peter's Square is designed as a keyhole. Well, put the keyhole in its proper position, you know, the round part on top and the triangular one underneath, and that's how you stick in a key and you open up the door, right? Okay, now that you got the keyhole in the proper position, zoom out a little bit and see how the rest of the Vatican looks. That's right. The main dome in the middle has a cross built inside of it. It's upside down. So it's obvious. The devil has been running this thing since day one. So anyway, she goes on to say that utter concessions followed in regards to the emperor of Abyssinia was beguiled into the acknowledgement of the Pope as the vicar of Christ, and so other concessions followed. And an edict was issued forbidding the observance of the Sabbath under the severest penalties, and that's from Michael Getty's book, The Church History of Ethiopia, on pages 311 and 12. It says, but the papal tyranny soon became a yoke so galling that the Abyssinians determined to break it from their necks. After a terrible struggle, the Romanists were banished from their dominions, and the ancient faith was restored. The churches rejoiced in their freedom, and they never forgot the lesson they had learned concerning the deception, the fanaticism, and the despotic power of Rome. I mean, if you just look at Daniel chapter 11, going from top to bottom, you'll see how Rome is introduced into history and how they use deception. And as soon as they're done using you to get to where they got to go, either they're going to merge with you or force you to merge with them and be part of their power, or they're just going to wipe you out, chew you up, and spit you out. I mean, it's repetitive how they've always done this through history. So, within the solitary realm, it says, they were content to remain unknown to the rest of Christendom. Yeah, like flying under the radar kind of a thing. So, the churches of Africa held the Sabbath as it was held by the papal church before her complete apostasy. While they kept the seventh day in obedience to the commandment of God, they abstained from labor on the Sunday in conformity to the custom of the church. Upon obtaining supreme power, Rome had trampled upon the Sabbath of God to exalt her own, but the churches of Africa, hidden for nearly 1,000 years, did not share in this apostasy. When brought under the sway of Rome, they were forced to set aside the true and exalt the false Sabbath. But no sooner had they regained their independence than they returned to obedience to the fourth commandment. So, these records of the past clearly reveal the enmity of Rome toward the true Sabbath and its defenders. And so you got to look at it this way, too. Oh, well, let me finish the sentence here. And she says, and the means which she employs to honor the institution of her creating. All right, so just how we, in the same way we see our politicians using or making certain statements in the media. Here's a good example. Obama, well, actually, Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, in fact. Not John F., but Robert. And how ironic is this? Robert Kennedy started the talk about gun control. And then, of course, he gets assassinated, right? But he starts the thing about gun control. And so they're talking about gun control, gun control, gun control. And they're going to keep on throwing those talking points out there to eventually get to a point where it's going to be like Australia or that other nation where they literally confiscate the guns and then the crime goes off the chart because the only ones they can't get the guns from are the criminals. And so now the criminals got a heyday. They know that you can go into your house because you can't legally have a gun. All right? Well, Satan works the same way, and he did so with Rome, and he did so with anybody that joined with them. He will, like it says here, the enmity of Rome toward the true Sabbath and its defenders, and by the means which he, the institution of creating, it just keep on it, keep throwing it in there, over and over and over again, and since their start, so that by the time it comes, by the time the other shoe drops in regards to enforcing the mark of the beast, the talking points would have been going on for 1,800 years to the point it looks like it's ancient biblical truth, especially when St. John Paul II, that's what they're calling him now, St. John Paul II speaks from heaven with a slight echo from the Dies Domini of 1998, where he literally states, civil legislation should be put forward to assure that Sunday keeping could be kept by law. Okay, so I'm paraphrasing, but it's on my website, the whole Dies Domini. And, I mean, it was just a bunch of fluff until you get to that part. It's just like any Jesuit would do. You know, get to the point, guys, but they can't. They got to put all this deception around their statements and try to hide their true agenda in fluff, what I call, you know, just a bunch of useless words. So anyway, she goes on to say that the prophecy of Revelation 13 declares that the power represented by the beast with lamb-like horns. Anybody know who that is? Most of you are living in it. I'm living in it. Well, yeah, USA. So it declares the power of the beast with the lamb-like horns cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the papacy. So it's no wonder that Francis comes here and it's all just a big love fest. Even though the man took the Jesuit oath, even though the man says Jesus Christ is dangerous, even though the man says that Jesus Christ failed at the cross. I mean, left and right, left and right, left and right. This guy is just making Jesus look bad. And they love him. I mean, Hollywood, I think it was that so-called comedian. Because I got this article with a bunch of quips, statements from these Hollywood stars, and the comedian guy with the facial comedian thing, Jim Carrey, I think, he says, I like the cut of your jib, talking to the Pope. He says, even though I don't believe, I'm not a believer, I like the cut of your jib. So even the atheists are embracing him. But it's obviously probably got paid to make that statement, because that's how Hollywood works. If you make a statement here, we'll make sure you get this, that. Yeah, it's just one handshake and the other, that's all it is. And then shortly thereafter, Jim Carrey's girlfriend commits suicide, who, by the way, was still married. She hadn't divorced her husband yet. So, getting back, the prophecy of Revelation 13 declares that the power represented by the beast with lamb-like horns shall cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the papacy. There, symbolized by the beast, like unto a leopard. The beast with two horns is also to say to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. And furthermore, it is to command all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark of the beast. Revelation 13, verses 11 to 16. And we all know about the image. So, it has been shown that the United States is the power represented by the beast with the lamb-like horns, and that this prophecy will be fulfilled when the United States shall enforce Sunday observance, which Rome claims as the special acknowledgement of her supremacy. But in this homage to the papacy, the United States will not be alone. The influence of Rome in the countries that once acknowledged her dominion is still far from being destroyed. And prophecy foretells a restoration of her power. It says, I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast in verse 3. And I got a video about that showing the wound is healed, because they all wonder after the beast after the wound is healed. And they're now wondering after the beast. I mean, he was on Rolling Stone magazine. He's on the cover of Time. All the world's wondering after him. And the prophecy states they wonder after him after the wound is healed. So it says the infliction of the deadly wound points to the downfall of the papacy in 1798. Okay, well, you know, Napoleon. That's at the end of 1260, a prophecy of Daniel. And then it says, after this, says the prophet, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And so I should have just kept reading. Because the Bible says that after the wound is healed, they are going to wonder after the beast. So once you see them wondering after the Vatican, which has been going on now for it was kind of going really well for John Paul II until he started, you know, like with Reagan, the drooling problem, you know, like literally being spanked for what they had done. And then Ratzinger, a.k.a. Benedict, wasn't helping matters any, because the guy just looks evil. And so when Francis came in, it was just a whole new love fest. But it was going kind of good for John Paul II. This is why I kind of focused on him big time when he first came about. But it was short-lived because even though he had a long papacy because of the work that he had to do, you know, go from a handful of nations to 175 by the time he died. But Francis had to be there. A guy like Francis had to be there, and they had to play it up right, and they did. So now they got this big old love fest going on, so all the world's wondering after him, which means the wound's healed. Because look at the order of the prophecy. The deadly wound's healed, and then they wonder. Well, must mean it's healed. So Paul states plainly that the man of sin will continue until the second advent. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8 is where she's getting that. So to the very close of time, he will carry forward the work of deception. And the Revelator declares, also referring to the papacy, Revelation 13:8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. And then she says, in both the old and the new world, the papacy will receive homage in the honor paid to the Sunday institution that rests solely upon the authority of the Roman Church. And they admit that in writing, like I said earlier, in that little book called Rome's Challenge to Protestants. It's on my page called Rome Changes Times and Laws. Because Daniel prophesied that thousands of years ago. So, see, this is like I like to tell people, says, oh, what do you think, you are a prophet? No! Daniel said it, not me. And Daniel didn't even say it either. Yeah, Daniel's a prophet, but he's echoing what the Lord told him, put, you know, pen to paper. Daniel said they're going to do this. And so I'm telling you, since Daniel said it's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen. You can't get around it. The Bible's true. Now, if you think it's just a bunch of men got together and put together 66 books and, you know, and there's a possibility God was involved, well, then you're never going to believe anything cover to cover. You're just not going to get it. But if you have it burn into your heart of hearts, if you know deep down inside that this is the book of God, then, yeah, you can easily go forth and say, hey, this is definitely going to happen. And then that's definitely going to happen. And then this is what we've been doing for decades. We're telling people this will happen. And praise God, all these things have happened. Not because we're prophets, but because we read a Bible. We open it up, we read it. Oh, it says this. Well, tell the people that. Just like Legion was told, go tell the people what I did for you. Well, the Lord's doing the same thing with us today. But you wait till that ladder rain falls. It's going to be amazing. I mean, it's already drizzling, as we know. So since the middle of the 19th century, she says, students of prophecy in the United States have presented this testimony to the world. In the events now taking place, has seen a rapid advance toward the fulfillment of the prediction. With Protestant teachers, there is the same claim of divine authority for Sunday keeping. I mean, they're all doing it. They're all saying, it's like when that video that Brother Craig did, or I'm sorry, Brother Chase did with, Andre did, and Sean, and well, Justice was there too. I said, there was a few of you there. That one guy, even though he's Roman Catholic, he said, you know, Sunday is, it has its authority because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, not just Catholics say that, they all say it. The Baptists say it, the Methodists say it, the Lutherans, they all say it. But there's not a single Bible verse to back that up either. But there are Bible verses that back up a doctrine that does deal with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And guess which doctrine that has to deal with? It's not Sunday keeping, it's baptism. Yeah, thank you. It's kind of like I said it, and it was printed at the exact same time. That was good there, brother. So anyway, going on, it says, in the same lack of scriptural evidence as with the papal leaders who fabricated miracles to supply the place of a command of God or from God. It's like, and this is, this is what makes it so easy to expose their so-called sainthood or their canonization in the Vatican. The Bible says a saint is one who is alive and walks with Christ, and by their fruits you shall know them. And if they go a little bit off the chart, like Paul or any of the apostles, you know, you get, or the prophets of old or the patriarchs, and you see these amazing movements of God's hand. Okay, the sainthood is obvious before you even get to the grave. Rome? No. You got to be dead, rotting, and pushing up daisies before they'll even consider you as a saint. Why? Well, it's just like the tongues of the Pentecostal. You can fake it. It's real easy to fake it. It's not like John Paul II is going to come out and say, hey, I didn't do that. I mean, it's very easy for somebody to, and this is what they did, and it usually takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of people saying, yeah, I prayed to, what was her name, St. Therese, and I asked for a rose to fall from heaven, and she answered my prayer. And now I believe she's a saint. And so they keep pushing that and pushing that and pushing that. And after about 100 or 200 years, Saint Therese became a saint. And you start doing novenas to her. When I was a Catholic, I did novenas to her. And roses do show up. The demons are going to make sure those roses show up, proving your novena was answered. All right? John Paul II wasn't cold 20 years. Canonization was already handled, done. You know? And it wasn't even 15 years because he was dead in what, 2005. Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't even dead 10 years. And then one whopping miracle comes. Why? Why did they erase this? Why did they make so, why were they so adamant about getting John Paul into sainthood so Francis could say Saint John Paul II every time he talks about him on pulpits in front of Congress or wherever? Is because of the Dies Domini. These guys were working together. The Black Pope is, you know, the head of the Jesuits, but now that is the Pope. And so they were working together from day one, well, for hundreds of years. And so it was already set in stone that a Pope, a very popular Pope, was going to make these statements about Sunday keeping in civil legislation so that when he dies, we can make him a saint and then say, he's speaking from heaven now. And it only makes sense. Look at the calamities. They're happening everywhere. People are dying left and right in our nation. We got to get right with God. We got to keep Sunday holy. They're not going to see what's really on their mind like, well, look around. Look at all the miracles from the remnant of her seed. People are getting healed. People are leaving the churches in droves. Our donations are dropping out of our pockets. Our silk-lined pockets are made out of canvas now. We got to shut these people up. So everybody should go to church. No, that's what they want. That's why they're going to do the Sunday laws. But they can't say that. They got to say it's all about the calamities. And the calamities are all their fault. And if you don't believe that, you wait till the plagues hit. Because the reason for the calamities is their sinfulness. And when they start making laws to pull away from the law of God, which is one of the reasons the calamities are here now, because they have made void God's law, and this is when his hand will move, like it says in the book of Psalms, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. But the devil loves to twist the truth. And so when it gets really, really bad because of their fault, he's going to point at us. He's going to say it's their fault because they're keeping Sabbath. And we made it law that everybody should keep Sunday, and there's that small little remnant of our seed that's keeping the seventh day. So they got to be killed off. It's better that one man should die than the whole nation should perish. Remember when they said that about our Lord and Savior 2,000 years ago? That's what they're going to say about us. So going on, she says, the assertion that God's judgments are visited upon men for their violation of the Sunday Sabbath will be repeated. Already, it's beginning to be urged, and a movement to enforce Sunday observance is fast gaining ground. She's talking about the European, it wasn't called the Sunday Alliance back then. I can't remember what the name it was, but it's called the European Sunday Alliance now. And when it came to America, it was, what was it called when it came to America? Because all of a sudden it changed. I actually called those people too when I first started keeping the Sabbath 21 years ago. Called people on the phone. I told them about the Sunday laws and the mark and all this other stuff. And they said, oh, we would never do that, you know. Lord's Day Alliance. Thank you, Sean. Yeah. Lord's Day Alliance is what. And I called them. That's what it is. That's what Sister White was talking about. Actually, I should put this on her Was She a Prophet page. But, they did that. And so now they're really pushing it, and they're asking for laws. I have it on my Sabbath Attack page. Just look up Alliance. Just look up the word Alliance, and there's a few articles that will eventually lead to some statements that they have made that said point blank that they lied, bold-faced lied to me over the phone. Anyway, she goes on. Marvelous. Oh, hey, wait. Let's see. Because we're going to. Let me just see how many pages are left here. Boom, this chapter, anyway. Because it looks like it's ending here. Oh, it's not. Okay, it's going to another page. So why don't we end it here? Because we're starting a fresh new paragraph here. So let me get this link. I'll stick it in the browser really, really fast. Told you it was fast. So if you can, let's please kneel so we can end in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for blessing us with this Sabbath. And thank you for giving us the understanding of your truth so clearly. Even though we still look through the glass darkly, we can see enough. We can see the path in front of us. And so thank you for keeping it well lit and blessing us with opportunities to share what you have shared with us, with others, so that they too can join us in this work. So the loud cry can get louder and louder and louder. Thank you for the hedge of angels that you keep around us, so that we can do the work for as long as possible. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list with salvation, especially those, or whatever their needs are, their prayers are, and especially those that were mentioned in the text chat earlier. Thank you again for blessing us with the changing of the showbread on Sabbath. And thank you for blessing the remainder of this Sabbath, so that when we come together in the morning, your presence is still among us, as it is all throughout the week anyway. But we like it more so on Sabbath day, because we're actually joining the angels, Enoch, Elijah, Moses, your son, and all the elders that came out of the grave when Jesus did, and to take part in the Sabbath, just like you're doing in heaven. Thank you so much for letting us have a part in that, all the way down here on this puny little world. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen.